So today we've got an exciting show. This is one that we've received a lot of questions about, especially after, was it the
infertility?
It was the infertility stuff that we discussed a while back. And if you missed those, go back and check those out.
And we probably talked about it too when we did environmental toxins.
We
discussed this, but today it is BPA.
BPA, bisphenol A. We're going to talk about it, kind of what it is, what happens to it, what it means as far as, you know, why you end up with this stuff in plastics, how this stuff kind of, how it can accumulate in the system. We're going to talk about ways that you can reduce your risk of getting BPA exposure. And then we're going to talk about a little different concept with regard to BPA. So that'll come a little bit later in the show. So talking about BPA, so if you go through the store, like go through any kids store, like a Babies R Us or what's the other one? Bye Bye Baby. And if you look at all of the plastic containers in the store, they all say BPA free. And I think a lot of people for a long time were asking, like, what does that mean? And really, what it boils down to is some researchers figured out that BPA is a chemical that really causes some problems in people, and we need to get rid of it because in, you know, certain amounts, it can create some pretty hefty disruptions in the human body.
Right. And I think that initially, I mean, we've gotten a lot of questions from people about, okay, is it just an issue for children? Is it something that adults actually need to be worried about, or is this just people being, you know, overly cautious? And I think initially it was really, the focus really was on children because of course they're going to be more susceptible, and there is a lot of plastic containers and, you know, bottles and things for children. So there was more of a concern with children. The more research that has been done on this, the more that we know that it has huge effects on everyone and much larger effects than we ever knew. So I think it's kind of funny how initially people are like, I don't know why this is an issue, but I guess I need BPA free for my kids. And then we haven't really, it's just kind of started to move over into things for adults. But with us doing the research on it, it's frightening. And that's why we're like, we need to do a show on this, because why is this information not out there?
Right. Then, and so in doing the research on this and really kind of diving into some scientific articles that are out there, there's actually quite a lot of information talking about the dangers of BPA. Now, I say that, and you know, there's the plastics industry is just under $400 billion a year industry, and they're, you know, trying to put out research to counter all of the research that's published that's negative. They're coming out with stuff that's, you know, that says it's okay. So there's a lot of arguments on both sides. It's really undeniable that it does mess with the endocrine system, and your endocrine system is responsible for all of your hormones. And so that's where how it can really have such a profound effect is because if you mess with hormones in a human being, you're messing with every single system and every organ and every function and all their cellular biology throughout their entire body. So this can have very profound effects. And there was a paper, it's been a few years ago, I don't remember exactly, I don't remember it right off the top of my head, but the journal is called Endocrine Disruptors, and there's a article in there. It says it's the low dose effects of bisphenol A, and basically what this research article did is they took a lot of different studies that had been done in a lot of different areas. So they looked at studies that did cell cultures. They looked at studies that did like large scale things where they're checking lab animals and looking at, okay, what happens if we expose a laboratory animal to this? And then they actually used epidemiological studies. So we've talked about epidemiologic studies on this show before. That means that we have a test group, a group of subjects that are followed over decades, usually, you know, years to decades through to even entire lives. Like there are twin studies out there that follow a set of twins throughout their entire life from birth to death. And they report on, you know, differences in the twins. So there are a lot of those types of studies out there. And they, all of these studies basically came together and they're basically pointing at the same thing in the same direction. It may have been just a little bit different conclusion, a little bit different here, but they're all in the same direction and they're all basically saying the same thing. When you have that number of studies all kind of pointing you in one direction, it's pretty profound, right? That's a big thing. That they're saying, all of them are basically saying that BPA is bad for you. You know, there's, depending on what they're looking at, it can be, you know, anything going on in the human body or in particular in the lab animals, but it's all saying this is bad. We've got an issue. And that becomes a big issue because basically we're relying on scientists here to tell us that something that's already in our system that we're already exposed to is bad. So my question, just from a logical standpoint, is why did that happen? Why is the burden of proof to show that it's bad for someone? Why is somebody not trying to prove that it's safe before it comes out?
Right. Well, and I think the big point with this journal article then really got us thinking about BPA initially a few years ago was the fact that it was looking at all of these different types of studies, right? The cell culture studies, laboratory animal studies, epidemiological studies. And there are good and bad things about all of these types of studies, right? There are benefits to them and there are things that make them maybe, you know, that people could say, well, that isn't as reliable. Like you can't apply that to the general population.
You can't apply a rat to a human.
Right. And so there are all these arguments, you know, where, okay, well, maybe that is not saying what you think it is. But the fact that we've got all three of these types of studies all pointing in the same direction and all showing extremely detrimental effects of BPA on the system, whether it's with animals, you know, or whatever they're testing, is a huge cause for concern. And so the fact that they kind of took all of these studies that have been done and looked at all of them and kind of put it in a, you know, readable format where they're saying, hey, this is an issue, no matter how you look at it. I think that's where we're like, okay, we've got to, you know, really pay attention to this. And of course, you know, we mentioned earlier that there are the plastics industry companies, you know, that are coming up with their own studies and trying to say, no, it's not a big deal. But we've seen this with so many other products that have come into the market where as soon as it starts to the research starts to show that it's harmful, well, then, of course, the companies right. that are making money off of it are going to have their own scientists come in. And we've talked about that with, you know, pharmaceutical medication, where, you know, all of these pharmaceutical companies are coming out with their own research to show that things are safe. But to put that into perspective, I mean, I don't know the exact numbers, like, you know, like statins are like, what, a $30 billion?
Yeah, 30,
a year,
40 billion,
something
maybe.
Like that. I mean, I don't know the number off the top of my head.
And that's a top-selling medication.
Right. That's compared to like $375 billion in the plastics industry. And that makes sense because
think about all the plastic. That you're, I mean, it's everywhere.
It is. It is absolutely everywhere. So they have a huge vested interest in proving that this is safe.
If you were asked to eliminate all the plastics from your home, you might be left with a little bit of wood flooring. Maybe.
I mean,
I'm not
it's
even
crazy.
Sure. There's that much.
Yeah, and I mean, so.
And for a lot of us, I mean, think about your kitchen. How many people drink out of a plastic cup? Or, you know, I mean, it's plastics are everywhere.
Oh, yeah. And once we started doing this research, all of a sudden, I'm just like, I'm scared to touch anything. Like,
yeah,
everything
right.
I use is plastic.
Right.
So it's, I mean, I think that it's something we all need to be aware of. And we're going to go through, you know, some things to pay attention to in particular. But it really can drive you crazy. So, That's why we're like, we need to do a show about this to actually say, okay, here's where you really need to pay attention.
Right. These are key tips. Because, I mean, we're not going to be asking you to eliminate all plastic from your lives, because I think that's completely impossible to do.
Right.
But if you can reduce your exposure just a little bit, that's great. And there are really, really important areas that we'll discuss in a bit that really can make a significant difference in your health with regard to, you know, eliminating plastics in key certain areas.
Right. I mean, well, and we've talked about this before in other shows that we know that it affects fertility, but I mean, it's been linked to so many different things that it, you know, I know in what we kind of picked out in one of the research articles, they said basically pick any disease and the, you know, estrogenic activity that you could be, you know, that are the result of these chemicals will affect it.
Right. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the reason that BPA is such a big problem and then some of the things health-wise that this has an impact on. You're listening to Wellness 101. Very exciting talk.
Yes.
Talking about something toxic and poisonous, not good for you. Gotta love it. So before the break, we were just kind of talking about the fact that there are lots of studies out there. There's some
review articles.
I had a hard time with review.
Yep. That's what I'm here for.
I stumbled over that a little bit. Some review articles out there that really take a large collection of studies and different types of studies where we're looking at cellular stuff, lab animals, epidemiological studies, all together. And basically, they're all pointing, the results of them, even though they're a little bit different because they're looking at different things, they're all pointing in the general direction of BPA bad is really what it boils down to. But really, a lot of people are like, but why is BPA bad? I've barely even heard of it. And if I have heard of it, I really don't know what it means and why I'm trying to get rid of it.
Right. And I think a lot of people think, okay, I keep hearing, you know, everything is harmful to me. So
right.
I think to some extent, I mean, you know, we've talked about this before, like, you know, even with like pharmaceutical commercials, you hear all the bad stuff and you end up just tuning it out because it's on every single one. And I think
you get a 15-second commercial and a minute 15 of it is side effects.
Right. I mean, so BPA kind of becomes just this background, you know, it's put into the big pile of all the other things you need to worry about. And so I think people, you know, that's why we've gotten a lot of questions. They're like, is this a big deal or are people just being crazy about it?
Right. Do I need to worry about this? And the answer is yes, to a degree. You want to eliminate as much as you can. And like I said before, we're going to talk about what places that you can really focus on to get this stuff out of your house and your own personal environment. But the real reason that BPA is so bad for us is because it mimics the hormone estrogen. And I mean, as a guy, I really don't want a lot of estrogen in my system. And as a woman, I don't really think you want a lot of estrogen in yours either. This estrogen and estrogenic effects in the body have been linked to things like cancer, diabetes, obesity, asthma, infertility, which is when we, like I said before in the show, that's when we really talked about BPA.
Infertility for women and also low sperm count.
And low sperm count for men. Having liver problems, ADD, ADHD. I mean, basically, pick something. Pick anything. And the reason you can pick anything is because it's now acting like a hormone. And when you address or affect one hormone, you affect all of them. Somehow, some way, they're all connected. You can't separate them all out and say, oh, well, I'm just going to, you know, affect this one little hormone and it's going to have no effect anywhere else on the body. That's just not true.
Right, which is why, and we're going to do a show on this as well, we've talked before about the fact that, you know, a lot of places doing, you know, working with people's hormones, we get frustrated because they end up in our office and whoever was helping them, you know, try to balance hormones would, you know, give them something to affect one hormone and not think about the effects on the other. You can't do that.
Or not look at everything and only look at one little thing.
Right.
And That didn't help.
And like so many things we talk about on here, the body is a whole system. So and
so there's your teaser on the hormone talks that are coming.
Yes.
And what it actually looks like to do bioidentical hormone replacement therapy and
correctly.
The benefits of it. Yeah, when it's done correctly. So yeah, good job. Good job, Aaron. Way to, we'll get that out to you here very, very
yes.
soon. But like with plastics, a lot of people know, okay, plastics aren't really good for me, and they're trying to get plastics usage in their home and in their life and in their environment reduced. And that's important. And so what that did, that decision to change plastics really changed the plastic industry. And if you think for a second that your choices as a consumer have no effect, you are wrong, because this is visible in more than just BPA. This is visible in grocery stores across America. We're seeing an increase in natural stores. You're seeing them pop up all over the place. You're seeing an increase in gluten-free products. You're seeing an increase in, you know, non-antibiotic given, non-hormone meats. You're seeing a lot more locally sourced things. So these things are, your choices are driving. Well, this is true in the plastics world too, because all of a sudden BPA was, you know, they figured out, okay, this is really bad for you. And they started taking it out, and they first started with baby stuff. Basically every piece of plastic that you purchase that is for a baby is BPA free.
Right.
Everything, the bottles, the nipples, the whatever they're playing with, the mats they lay on, the car seats.
But here's the issue, and I know we're going to get into this a little later, the fact that we've got this huge industry, right, that's making a ton of money off of these plastics. One of the things that they did to try to get the BPA out is just simply switch it to, you know, I mean, they're now using different compounds
right.
that we are finding are just as harmful, if not more harmful, than the BPA. And that's really, you know, it's another huge reason why we wanted to start talking about this, because BPA alone, removing BPA is not going to get rid of all of these problems. And
right.
the issue we have with this is the fact that unlike, you know, somebody having an allergy or something where you have an immediate response, this isn't something that's going to cause an immediate response in somebody.
No.
And so it's taking so many years for us to realize that, oh, wait, you know, first BPA was having an effect. And now to say, okay, this BPS or Tritan, like all these other different compounds that they're using, are also having a detrimental effect on the body.
And right. And how, not to cut you off, but how this also plays into, you know, this is your environment. This is your metabolic environment. So your DNA is responding to that. This is epigenetics, folks. This is what I do now affects my kids and my kids' kids, because you're changing how your genetic code is responding to things, right? This
right.
stuff matters. This is, it's really important. And no one is yet looking at third, fourth generation, and I don't know if they ever will, third, fourth generation of what's happening to these people that were exposed to BPA. I mean, who's looking at anybody that was, whose parent was exposed to Agent Orange in Vietnam?
Well,
or grandparent was exposed to Agent Orange in Vietnam? Or what about this whole Aaron Brockovich thing, whatever that was with PG&E out west? I mean, who's that? That was obviously a problem, but what effect is that having on the next generation and the generation after that?
Or even later in life. I think that, you know, one thing, example I think a lot of people can understand is the whole asbestos industry, where people were exposed to asbestos and they weren't getting mesothelioma right away, right? And so we used it for a long time. We thought
right.
it was a great product. Well, now we know that there is a latency period of, you know, many times 60 years or so where they won't have it. You know, I mean, not always that long, 30 to 60 years. Well, now we are looking back to, okay, what exposure do they have earlier in life? Did their parents have exposure? What, you know, where did this come from? And it takes that long for us to realize, oh, this is a problem. When now and then now we're looking back and saying, hey, I think these companies had an idea. Well, that's the same thing with the plastics industry. They know they're doing this to cover up. And I think, yeah, eventually we will get to a point where we're able to say, hey, I'm not using that anymore. I mean, the more we get the word out and the more consumers know, they're going to start saying, that's not okay. We're not okay with you using us as lab rats, because that's basically what we've become. Right. But at this point, we're so early in the game that I think it's hard for a lot of people to believe that all of these things that we're coming in contact with on a daily basis could be that harmful, because we don't see the harm immediately.
Right.
It's things that we know that are, you know, in process.
And that extends beyond, we can take this a step further, and even off of the BPA topic for just a minute, this expands to choices that we have with food. You know, the things that you eat when you're young really affect how your life is going to be and the sicknesses and problems and diseases that you're going to deal with later in life.
Right.
I mean, if you live your whole life eating, you know, McDonald's and Taco Bell, no offense to McDonald's and Taco Bell, but if you spend your whole life and that's all you eat, you're going to have a lot more health issues than someone who spends their life eating nice, fresh, organic vegetables and clean, healthy meats.
Well, and and that's definitely true. I think, you know, what we're also looking at are those people who aren't eating fast food, but are just eating conventionally grown meat,
yep.
You know, like and conventionally grown produce.
Right.
And so it's all of those toxins that are building up in their system. You
right.
don't see it. I mean, if you ate Taco Bell and McDonald's exclusively for a year, you'd probably see a result right away, right?
Right. I mean, well, we had the guy that did the movie. What was that guy?
Right.
Super Size Me.
Yeah.
That guy. Yeah. It dang near killed him.
Right. So we know that has an effect. This is so, like, it's insidious because you don't see it immediately.
Insidious means slow onset. She's using big words out here, ladies and gentlemen. This is attorney talk. I don't know. I'll bring it back down to normal people level here.
Well, I mean,
insidious. It's just, gosh, word of the day, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. It's one. I mean, we don't see the results immediately. And I think that's why people start to say, OK, this is crazy. It's the same thing we went through with the tobacco industry as well. Like
right.
people, it's not like you smoke a cigarette and you get lung cancer, right? You have to smoke for a long period of time generally. And of course, there are genetic issues that go along with that, too, as far as your susceptibility. But it's harder to get the point across when it's not an immediate response.
Right. And there was a lot of research in the cigarette industry, in the tobacco industry, speaking of that, I mean, you had doctors recommending it for a long time, recommending smoking.
They also recommend a ton of pharmaceuticals. So,
well,
true. We have all of these
touché.
Issues.
Touché.
But when, again, any time that you have an industry that is making a just ton of money and plastics is bigger than most of them, right? Follow the money. They have a huge incentive to keep this going. And the fact that we've got these research articles out there now by independent researchers who don't have any stake in the game, and they're coming out with language that this is alarming. And I think that really, you don't see that generally in research articles. Usually
right.
scientists, it's very bland. And it's like, this is the conclusion. Some of these research articles, I mean, they're basically saying this is scary stuff.
Right.
And so the fact that we've got such, you know, strong language used in research articles, it's definitely a time to take a look at this.
Right. Somebody's got to be paying attention. All right. We got to take another break. When we come back, we are going to talk about BPA-free plastics and discuss whether or not these things are really safe. You're listening to Wellness 101. We are talking about BPA or bisphenol A, and we're talking about the harmful effects of it, like kind of why it's so bad and things like that. We talked about the reason it's not really good for you is because it has an estrogenic effect on the human body, and it's basically implicated in pretty much every human condition that you can get. It's been tied to it some way, somehow. Tons of health issues, things like insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, asthma, cancer, liver damage, ADD, ADHD.
Yeah, ADD and ADHD is actually one of the few areas where we have had patients that say, I actually can see a difference when I've eliminated this. And that's not generally, we, you know, talked about in prior segment, that's not generally the case.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not across the board. It's not, you know, everyone with ADD or ADHD who eliminates plastics, you're going to see a marked improvement. But there are some who say that they can see an improvement. And
right.
so it clearly does have an effect. And it, well, and the same thing with infertility. A lot of times when we're working with, you know, someone, if someone comes to the clinic, we're doing other things besides just eliminating plastics.
Right.
But I mean, so it's hard to tie right. it back. But that is, you know, something that generally is at least discussed. And,
right.
You know, we've talked about before, we've had great success with couples who have had fertility troubles.
Yeah. So where do you find BPA? I haven't even talked about that. So BPA is obviously found in plastics, but there are other places that it's in as well. It is most commonly it's in those like hard plastic water bottles that you buy that are like 32 ounce water bottles with the big lids. That's the most common place for them. But other places that you'll find them, BPA is in dental sealants. So they're, I mean, you're putting this stuff straight in your mouth and just letting it hang out there. It's in the lining of like canned goods. So the if you're buying in the grocery store, if you're in the aisles and you're looking for, you know, a can of beans, that's likely a BPA filled can.
Right.
The lining is what's BPA filled. There are actually cans that on the label will say BPA-free lining.
And it's becoming more common. I mean, you still have to look for it. It's still definitely not the norm. But that was something that we paid a lot of attention to when we were trying to get pregnant.
Right.
Trying to avoid BPA is making sure that we got only canned goods. If we did use canned goods, that they were ones that had linings that were BPA-free. Because
right.
most of them aren't. So you do have to look at that specifically.
Right. Another place that it just blows people's minds that it's there are the relatively newer types of cash register receipts, the ones that the thermal ink is printed on. Those things are packed with BPA. So,
and that's really something I want people to be aware of, not so much as consumers, but those people who are working in, you know, at places where they're actually giving customers receipts,
right.
you know, who are working cash registers, because
right.
I've actually been in a store before where I saw someone wearing gloves, and she did not know it was because BPA, but she's like, I've just been told that I shouldn't be handling the receipts this much. And she had other
right.
chronic issues, but it was interesting because I'd never seen that before. And so that it makes me happy that the word is getting out some, okay, this is something that you need to be aware of and could cause a problem, even if people don't know why it could cause a problem. But it's a surprising source. So if you're in, you know, if you have a job where you're constantly, you know, working a cash register and giving people receipts,
right.
it's something to be aware of.
Right. Exactly. That's one thing I don't think a lot of people realize, that the person working the cash register is handling every receipt.
Right.
The person buying is just handling their one receipt.
Exactly.
And some of you guys out there, you're probably like, well, yeah, but my wife's handling like 50 receipts every time she goes shopping. So I completely get that, too. Good luck with that. I've got no advice. So I posed the question before last break that we were going to get into here, and that is, are BPA-free plastics really safe themselves? So We're gonna dive into this a little bit. So the question that really kind of comes to mind is, well, who do I trust in this group of information? Do I trust somebody that's unbiased, that doesn't have a skin in the game, and they're just trying to, you know, put out research? Or do I trust somebody that's actually, you know, in the industry, that understands the industry and is telling me that something within their own industry is safe? To me, it's the latter. I mean, we never listen to, you know, Ford Motor Company on whether or not their car is safe. Where do we go? We go to Consumer Reports because they don't care. Or we use the IIHS, you know, crash standards or whatever we're using. We're not letting a car company tell us that something is safe.
Right. How would we ever know? Because every car company is going to say, well, I'm the safest.
Yeah.
I'm the safest.
Right.
You know, I mean, like.
And they all play to their strengths of, well, you know, front crash test rated to this. But, you know, you look at the actual report and if you get hit in the side, you're a goner kind of thing because they have a 1-star rating on the side impact. But for head on, 5 stars. Well, I mean, that you got to pay attention to where you're reading your information. I prefer, you know, non-biased opinions myself. But all in all, regardless, the research is of the peer-reviewed journals that we see out there is their general consensus is that plastics are making us sick.
Right. And that's, yeah, the ones that aren't actually funded by the plastics companies, because the problem is that, I mean, the same thing that we've seen with pharmaceutical companies, so many other, you know, tobacco companies were doing the same thing, is they come out and they try to flood the system with research articles showing that it is safe. And so you really have to be able to kind of ferret that out and say, okay, what can we actually take as, you know, at face value, and which things do we have to kind of, you know, discount because there is a lot of money behind this. And
right.
All of the ones that are looking at the, you know, that are actually independently researched are saying, hey, this is a big deal.
And it's harder to find the independent researched information. It's becoming harder and harder to find. You have to really know where you're going.
And it's harder to know.
And it's hard to identify that it's independent.
Exactly. Because they, I mean, you know, like $1 billion a year industry, or, you know, $375 billion or whatever it is up to at this point, almost $400 billion, they have enough money to figure out how to get the wording around, you know, I mean,
right.
It's hard. It takes a lot of time. And that's why we take so much time in preparing these shows, because it's, you know, it takes a lot of research on our part to try to figure out, okay, wait, who is actually funding this study? And what am I actually looking at here? And, you know, we do that so that we can come in here and say, you know, with certainty, all right, this is what we're seeing and this is what these studies are actually showing.
Right. So, you know, we've talked about how BPA can cause, you know, diabetes, heart disease, et cetera. But we talked in our fertility shows about how it decreases both male and female fertility. I mean, in men, plastics decrease sperm motility. They decrease the levels of ATP, or the energy, adenosine triphosphate, the energy in the sperm cells themselves. And they also mess with and impair the function of the proteins that help facilitate fertilization. And so that's why this has such an impact on men's fertility. And then with females, basically it damages function of pretty much all the female reproductive organs. It inhibits the embryo from implanting into the uterine wall, and it impairs the female's reproductive cycle. I mean, if you put a woman on, think about this. Even though we're talking about low levels of estrogens, if you're constantly chronically exposed to low levels of estrogens, it makes common sense that that has a cumulative effect. If you load a woman up with a bunch of estrogens, of course her reproduction is going to be off.
Right. Well, and that's
where she's going to be grouchy. There's going to be issues with it. I mean, that's the thing. There are big things that go with this.
Right. And it's, I think that's where we really kind of get into an issue with a lot of, you know, the research with the plastics companies, that they're saying, okay, well, this is such a low effect. And that's true. And so if that was
that's true on one tiny exposure.
Exactly. I mean, and so that's what I'm saying. If that was
part.
The only exposure, okay, we can get on board that your body is able to process that generally. I mean, unless you're really, you know, in dire straits and you have major health condition, well, okay, you can probably process that out. You can probably process a number of them out. But when it's basically, I mean, when we're inundated with all of these different exposures throughout the day, then it becomes a big deal and it clogs our system and we're not able to process them out anymore, and it has a huge effect.
Right. We got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to finish this up. We're going to talk about some things that you can do, some tips for reducing your exposure to BPA and plastics. You're listening to Wellness 101. Wrapping up today's show here, talking about BPA, bisphenol A, and kind of how bad it is for you. It's not good. Causes some estrogenic effects. Is tied to tons and tons of health conditions. Basically, name one, and it's tied to it. So BPA is a chemical found in plastics. There's another chemical that's found in plastics called phthalates. They're found pretty much everywhere. They're in kids' toys. They're in vinyl. A lot of personal care products, especially like perfumes and stuff, are loaded with phthalates.
Right. A lot of women's, you'll find cosmetic products now more and more saying, you know, phthalate free. And there's a reason.
Right. Exactly. And so phthalates, one of the big things that phthalates are associated with is DNA damage in human sperm and then lowered testosterone levels, which is part of what's contributing to infertility. And some research, a little more recent, is demonstrating that phthalates can impair cognitive development and promote allergic disorders in children. And I found that kind of interesting because, you know, things like phthalates are becoming, they're more and more widespread. And also, I mean, I'm wondering, is there any kind of tie to the increase in, you know, other human ailments like, you know, gut dysfunction, leaky gut, food allergies, like peanut, like true food allergy, peanut allergy type things. That's just very interesting to me, and I'm intrigued by it. But we've also learned that BPA and phthalates have epigenetic health effects. So epigenetics are things that are above your genes, things that influence your genetic code.
Yeah, how your genes are expressed.
How they're expressed. That's exactly right. Your genes do not mean that you're going to have this condition. Just because your mom had it doesn't mean that you're going to have it. Your environment sets that up. Choices that you make set that up and make that happen.
Right. And we've learned that even through twins, like, you know, they have the same genes. Well, if their exposures are different, which generally they're the same when they're kids, but if they're not, their genes can be expressed differently.
Right. And so researchers are projecting out and they're actually showing that BPA causes alterations in gene expression that can be passed down through multiple generations, even to your great grandchildren. I mean, that's several generations there to get to your great grandkids of things that you're doing now that have that long lasting of an effect. So, you know, I just want to throw it out there. Beware of the harmful effects of BPA and phthalates. Those things have the harmful effects have increased. But, you know, we're starting to see more BPA and phthalate-free products that are available. But, you know, the question is, are they really that much better? I mean, you know, there's BPA is being taken out, but there's a couple of other chemicals that have estrogenic activity that we're starting to see in these plastics as well. Bisphenol S, for instance, or BPS is one, and another one is triphenyl phosphate or TPP. There's two that are found in a lot of BPA free products, and you know, a lot of items containing these chemicals are marketed as safe alternatives to BPA, you know, containing plastics. But they're starting to figure out that BPS has endocrine disrupting effects that are very similar to BPA, and TPP is even more estrogenic than BPA. So that was a lot of letters there. That was alphabet soup. Basically, they're just showing that other chemicals in plastics have even more powerful of an estrogenic effect. So, you know, the plastics manufacturers get away with this by, you know, using more toxic chemicals, but marketing, you know, them as healthy BPA free.
Right.
And then the burden of proving that whatever else they're putting in there falls on researchers to say, yeah, actually this replaced this, but it's worse for you.
Right. And then we've got, you know, we'll get one or two research studies, you know, they'll come out and then the plastics industry will do their own research and bury it with their own research that says, oh no, it's fine. Right. So that's just how this is going. And the fact that they're able to not only, you know, have they made so much money on all of these plastics containing BPA, but now because they have so much money going into it, they're able to change a couple of the molecules that are involved and say, okay, we're going to label this as BPA free and make even more money because we're purchasing all of that now, right? I mean, we're like, oh, I wouldn't get BPA, but I'm going to get this because we think it's safe.
Right. So we have this whole BPA-free thing. Well, because of all these other chemicals, we're starting to see this new label start creeping up called EA, or estrogenic activity free. And so they're starting to say, all right, well, we know that BPA free is not necessarily good for you, and it still has, you know, estrogenic activity. Well, we're going to create plastics that are estrogenic activity free. I mean, it sounds good in theory, but I don't really know how that's going to look as this goes through, you know, the process of, you know, getting vetted and figuring this stuff out. I just don't know how that's going to work. I mean, we're seeing this label, and, you know, I'm not trying to poo-poo this idea of estrogenic activity free. I'm just a little wary of it, just because I don't want to be burned.
Well, because we know, I mean, and I try not to, you know, throw out, you know, company names, but we know Eastman Chemical has come up with a product, Triton Plastic, which I brought up before, which is, they market as estrogenic activity free, or EA free. Right. And third party testing has found that it has estrogenic chemicals. Right. So we know that, I mean, We know there are problems, and they're, you know, now there are big battles going on saying, you know, okay, that it is actually safe, but we can't, it's hard to trust those labels.
So how do you reduce it? I mean, we talked about that. It's all about just reducing your exposure.
And reducing plastics exposure.
Reducing plastics exposure. So, you know, this is, use glass cups instead of plastic cups. Really simple. Don't use plastic water bottles. Get stainless steel or glass. The market for these is huge. You're going to find all kinds of different choices out there that you can pick from. Store your food in glass containers. I mean, everything that you can replace plastic, you know, and replace it with glass or stainless steel, that's a great thing to do. Use parchment paper, or, you know, there's beeswax fabric out there as well, instead of plastic wrap. Don't, if you're storing your food in a plastic container for whatever reason, do not heat that food in that plastic container. Don't throw that plastic container in the microwave. That's how you just fill your food with BPA. We talked about the canned foods, the lining in the canned foods. Make sure that if you're buying canned items, that the BPA, it's BPA free lining.
And for those of you who are thinking, wait, but I thought even if it's BPA, it could be a problem. Yep, that involves the linings in cans also.
Right.
So we don't have enough research now to know that the linings, even when they're BPA free, do not have an estrogenic activity, unfortunately. So my advice would be, try to limit canned goods.
Right.
As much as you can.
Right. We talk about eat fresh, eat, you know, clean, eat organic. That's the way to go on that.
Yeah. Or get things that come in bottles, and, you know, that are in jars.
Right.
Instead of cans.
Exactly. And then cosmetics, personal care products, make sure that, you know, it's BPA and phthalate free in, you know, those types of products. Skipping receipts, not getting a receipt from a store is a great way. It's great now that a lot of these places allow you to get an email receipt.
Yes.
Choose to get an email receipt.
And that's, I get that. That's going to be hard for, it's hard for me. I like to have the paper,
right.
But knowing that it's going to, you know, it could have a health effect makes a difference.
If some of these stores now, you buy one item, you get a 7-foot printout for a receipt. I'm like, what in the world? Well, here's 17 surveys we can take to enter your chance to never win anything. And so, yeah, it's just ridiculous. And then, you know, with kids' toys, use wood toys or fabric toys instead of plastic toys for your kids. That's another big one to reduce
where
exposure.
Where possible. Because,
yeah, where you can.
Because so many toys for kids are plastic. So just being aware of it makes
everybody that stepped on a Lego in the middle of the night knows that. there's nothing more painful than the 1 a.m. walk across the floor and step on a Lego in the dark. So, all right. Well, that's all the time that we have for today's show. I hope you found it interesting in learning a little bit more about BPA and the harmful effects of this stuff. If you're looking for more information from us, visit our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. You can go on there and shoot us an email. Call us, 314-293-8123. Follow us on Facebook. Message us there. Follow us on Instagram. We're constantly posting stuff there. We like to hear from you. We like to get, you know, questions, and we do our best to answer them as quickly as we possibly can. So that's about all. Until next time, for Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.